WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. When I interviewed Amy Tan in June, her novel The Kitchen God's Wife had just come out. No one except book critics had read it yet. Now that her novel is entering its 12th week on the bestseller list, we thought we'd play that interview again. Amy Tan is that rare writer whose first novel was both a critical success and a bestseller. The Joy Luck Club juxtaposed the stories of four Chinese women who fled their country in the 40s with the stories of their Americanized daughters. Tan says she didn't want her second book to be Son of Joy Luck, and in a way, The Kitchen God's Wife is what she promised herself she wasn't going to write. It's about the relationship between a Chinese mother who fled her country in the 40s and her Americanized daughter. Both the mother and daughter are keeping secrets from each other, secrets each think the other would be totally unable to comprehend or accept. But a sick relative threatens to divulge the secrets unless the mother and daughter come clean. Most of the novel is given over to the mother's story about life with her husband, a cruel man who raped her repeatedly. Tan told me there was a good reason she returned to the territory of telling a Chinese mother's story.
It was a request from my mother. She had spent so many times having to tell her friends and acquaintances that she was not the mothers in the Joy Luck Club. And she came up to me one day and she said, as I was struggling to write the second book, she said, "Next book, tell my true story." And with her request, you know, how could I refuse? Because she had been really so much a part of the first book. She wanted me to write more about what had actually happened to her in China. And for such a long time, I knew just the sketchiest of details. I had always felt that it would be too painful for her to talk about everything that had really gone on, all the worst things. And so I asked her more and more about the times that she had lost her children or about her marriage to a very terrible man, a man whose name she could not even tell me until that time when she finally said, "Please tell my story." And she told me the name of the man, and I changed it, of course, but that became really the reason why I wrote The Kitchen God's Wife.
I'm going to ask you to read a passage from The Kitchen God's Wife, and this is a passage in which the mother has a lot of difficulty.
Yes.
Talking to the daughter, because it's such a painful part and it's such a personal part. And it's a passage where the mother's telling the daughter about how the mother's first husband abused her sexually and physically.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you'd like to say in setting up this passage?
Well, this is a scene that happens when she has been married for only a few months. She is telling her daughter about the time that they lived in Hangzhou when her husband was training to become an Air Force pilot. And in this, she talks about the loss, the early loss, beginning loss of her innocence. "And now I have come to the part where I must be frank. I was thinking I should not talk about these things with you, sex things. But if I didn't tell you, then you would not understand why I changed, how he changed. So I will tell you what happened, although maybe not everything. Maybe I'll come to a part where I cannot say any more. And when that happens, you just have to imagine what happened. And then you should imagine it again and make it 10 times worse. Every night when Fu wanted me, and it was not the same way as when we were at his parents' house. I had been shy then, and he had been gentle, always coaxing me, soothing me, stopping when I became too afraid, before I screamed too much. But in Hangzhou, he said it was time I learned how to be a proper wife. I thought I was going to learn something that would make me less afraid. I was still nervous, of course, but I was ready to learn. The first night in the little monastery room, we were lying in that narrow bed. I wore my nightgown when Fu had only his pants on. He was kissing my nose, my cheeks and shoulders, telling me how beautiful I was, how happy I made him. And then he whispered to me to say dirty words, words for a woman's body parts, not any woman's parts, a saltwater whore's, the kind who would give her body to foreign sailors. My ears hurt just to hear them. I pulled away. I cannot say those words, I finally told him. Why is this? He asked me, and he looked gentle, very concerned. A woman cannot say these things, I said, searching for a reason. And then I laughed, just a little, to show him I was embarrassed even thinking about it. Suddenly his smile went away, and he was a different person. He sat up quickly. His face was ugly, mad, and I became scared. I sat up too and stroked his shoulder, eager to win him back. "Say them," he shouted suddenly. He repeated the words, three or four dirty words. "Say them," he shouted again. I shook my head and began to cry, and then he became tender again, wiping my eyes and saying how much he cared for me, rubbing my back and my neck until I thought I would faint with relief and joy. He was only teasing, I thought happily. How stupid of me. And then he was helping me to stand up. He lifted my nightgown off, and when I was naked, he took my two hands and looked at me sincerely. "Say them," he said in a quiet voice. And hearing this once again, I started to collapse to the floor. But before I could do so, he pulled me back up, dragged me toward the door like a bag of rice. He opened the door, then pushed me outside into the corridor of the monastery, where anyone passing by could have seen me naked like that. What could I do? I could not shout. Someone would awaken, look out, and see me. So I was whispering to him through the door, pleading, "Open the door, open." And he said nothing, did nothing, until several minutes had passed, and I finally said, "I will say them." After that, it was the same way every night. Here is where you should imagine more. Here is where you should make it worse.
I think that those last sentences are among my favorite in your novel, the idea of here's where you should imagine more, here's where you should make it worse. It communicates to me a couple of things, you know, both the shyness of the mother and, you know, her difficulty in talking about this, but also the inability of words to convey the proper degree of pain and horror. Did your mother say that to you when she was telling you the story?
She did in the same tone of feeling, where she almost could not explain in English to me how bad it really was. And she also felt that with the experiences I had lived through as an American, that I couldn't possibly understand what it was that was so much worse. And it was also very painful for her, because as my mother was telling me about her life, she would jump up or she would wave her arms, and I could see in her eyes as though she was reliving exactly what was happening at that time. And I was afraid to ask when she said, "Here's where you should imagine that it was worse." At that point, she could see in my eyes, I was afraid to ask, "What was it?"
Novelist Amy Tan is my guest, the author of the bestseller The Joy Luck Club and a new novel called The Kitchen God's Wife. We'll take a short break, then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Novelist Amy Tan is my guest. It's really very difficult, I think, for most mothers and daughters to talk about anything sexual, let alone for a mother to tell the daughter about how she was sexually abused. Do you think if you hadn't been a novelist, if you hadn't started telling stories about your mother's generation, that she would never have told you this?
I think in a way she wouldn't have told me in such detail, because she had told me things about her marriage and about being tortured. The way she would tell me was, I was mentally tortured. You cannot imagine. It was like my skin would be crawling every single day, every minute, every moment, and I couldn't stand it and I couldn't get away. But it took a while before she could tell me where that feeling came from. And I think it was with the ears of both a novelist and a daughter that she was able to go into much more of where those feelings came from. And I think she knew that I was listening with my heart, because as she would tell things and she would be crying, I would be crying with her, but not holding back and not wanting to say too much, because I wanted it to be completely her story and not trying to shape questions to get something out that I wanted as a novelist.
Has it been difficult to get your mother's voice or the voice of her generation as a writer? I know it's a voice you've heard all of your life, but that doesn't mean it's easy to get it when you're writing.
It was a challenge, because I think when you write in a voice that's different, if it's an Asian American voice, that you know, you can very quickly go to the point of parody and have a voice that just sounds very comical. I wanted to find a voice that was her voice, meaning conveyed her passions and her intent and the nature of her thoughts, and at the same time, her intelligence and her way of looking at the world. I had used, started off with the Chinese thinking, which is how my mother talks. She translates directly from Chinese, and her language is full of images and expressions that you wouldn't find in English. And I would take that and then I would change it to another kind of language. And so it's something in between. But I did have to work on that for quite a while. And now it becomes, it's not that it's easy, but it's something that has become much more natural. When I get into the rhythm of that, suddenly I began to think like this character.
One last thing. Have you been revealing a lot to your mother in the past few years, or she's been revealing a lot to you?
I do reveal thoughts that I have about, we talk a little bit about, you know, the success of this book and what it means, and about luck, and about my feelings about my father, which were very difficult for me to talk about. We talk about, compare our perspectives on what happened as I was growing up as a child and misunderstandings. And now we can give both sides and laugh about it and come up with a new version. That's been a wonderful, tremendous thing. I think that's also what happens in fiction. I mean, if there's anything that I've learned as a fiction writer is that there is no absolute truth to anything. And it really takes, you know, sometimes several viewpoints or hundreds of viewpoints, or in the case of war, millions of viewpoints before you come to the truth of something.
Amy Tan, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Amy Tan's latest novel is The Kitchen God's Wife. This is Fresh Air.